Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the web-building podcast. We throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. What's up, everybody? Today's episode is all about magical transportation, because sometimes walking takes too long.
Also, because of Santa Claus, and it's December, and we figured, let's do something regarding Santa.
That was the original impetus behind this idea. I forgot that. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Yeah, but we're not even...
It was my idea. Fuck.
Yeah, but we're not even going to talk about Santa.
Well, now, do we have to now?
No. I mean...
Other bearded interlopers?
We did like four Christmas episodes last year. How do you get around in fantastical world?
There's... Or in a fantastical way.
Or in a fantastical way. You know, it's often simple stuff like horses and, you know, riding. A magical creature.
Something that can fly.
Teleportation.
Gigantic butterflies.
It's, you know, what's a mount you can ride? And what magic can you use to propel yourself independently
or
a mount?
Or what can you use creatively or unexpectedly to get yourself from point A to B without propelling yourself or being on something propelled? I'm talking about teleportation here. Like the flu network in Harry Potter. Talking about a chimney network. That's a cool idea.
I think we should really hone on Harry Potter for a bit here, because there's so many good modes of transportation in Harry Potter.
Elaborate.
I think the food network is iconic and interesting, and the fact that you have to say the place before you do it, and you know all the times that Harry fucks up what he's saying as he does it, and the, you know, the shenanigans that creates, that is really interesting.
Yeah.
You have that. You have
it's also whimsical.
It's whimsical, yes.
A network of fireplaces.
Yes.
Whimsical.
Absolutely. And then you have the mount variety. You've got the brooms. You have the flying car from Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. That's always fun. You have the hippogriff. You have the dragons. But I think...
You're missing a key one. My favorite. The Thestrals. From the fifth book, the invisible death horses.
I was getting to that.
I'm sorry. I stole your thunder.
But because you don't ride them. They don't really ride them. You were introduced to them not as a thing that's being ridden, but as a thing that's propelling a vehicle.
Fair.
Because they're drawing the carriage, and those are fascinating. And
yeah, I
think that's
those
such
are
a,
my favorite creatures.
And that's such a good little, you know, shout out to her world building in that moment, figuring out how do you make a horse-drawn carriage more interesting? And how do you get to the idea that the horse drawing it is invisible and only people who have seen death can see this horse?
It was already cool enough when you thought they were self-propelling horse-drawn carriages.
It's way cooler when you find out actually they're not.
There's this invisible death horse.
And then creating that interesting bond that exists between the people who can see it.
Well, and she built it into the story. That was the cool part.
And it's
that
relevant.
That's why it always stuck out to me beyond the animators in the movie doing just a spectacular job of creating them. They're beautiful creatures to look at. The sound is great. They made them very approachable and very scary and terrifying looking at the same time. It was just beautifully well done.
But also just the train.
That train is great. Magical trains are pretty fucking fantastic.
And how many people of our generation want to sit in a train carriage like that because of Harry Potter?
Oh, train is my favorite way to travel. It has been since before Harry Potter, but...
Yeah, but
since I was a kid, it was my favorite. But like, still, it's hard to escape that feeling when you're on a train.
It's it's this iconic imagery, especially like through, you know, Scotland, with that, like, that bridge that's super famous that they propel. Like, it is the train in Harry Potter does a lot. I think trains in anything are awesome.
I love a magical train. I love it.
And, you know, spoiler alert, they're a big part of my idea today, but, you know, they are an accessible and flavorful thing to infuse into a world, because they're also multi-passenger and public.
They're a mode of transportation as well as a setting.
Yes.
That's what's...
Like Murder on the Orient Express.
Absolutely. Or even in Spirited Away. The train is a big part.
It's a 5-minute scene where she just sits there.
Yeah, with the spirit next to her. It's a fantastic scene. And I think its role as, like I said, a setting and a mode of transportation is pretty amazing.
You've got...
Snowpiercer.
I was about to say Snowpiercer.
Sorry, that was too loud.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Snowpiercer
is so good. It's better than it has any right to be. what fascinating world building for one. Everyone should watch Snowpiercer. I don't know about the show, but the movie with Chris
Evans. Was great.
It was so good.
Shock, and especially as a character, to get used to seeing Chris Evans as Funny Man in Captain America, and then getting to see him going right from Captain America to brutal survivalist in a violent revolution was quite the pivot. Yeah. And he did a great job with it.
Yeah, he did.
Again, way better than he should have been able to.
Yeah. Anyway, well, let's get off of these trains.
There's a lot to get into even outside of the trains, though, because if all we've been discussing is the fantasy world. I mean, if you open up sci-fi, you start getting into jetpacks, you start getting into teleportation,
ships of any kind.
But my favorite thing recently, which I just rediscovered, it's a real diamond in the rough, comes out of a piece of shit movie in Jupiter Ascending.
Yep, piece of shit movie.
What's his name? Channing Tatum's character has these hover boots, which normally, we're used to Iron Man and the jet boots. That's fine. But his don't function like that. It basically means he's rollerblading or ice skating all over any physical object because he's like surfing on gravity or something stupid like that. But visually, it's very cool and very distinct. Mm-hmm. It makes for a very different style of action scene and fighting, and it makes you think about how would we get around differently. It reminded me a little bit, actually, of the Firelights and Arcane, who use those jet-powered skateboards, which I think are fun. Anything that's unexpected like that, a jet-powered skateboard, the hover boots, the Silver Surfer's surfboard in Marvel, those are all really fun things. I want to do some interesting, any kind of quirky activity that's normally something different that you then start using for magical or sci-fi transportation, I'm A-okay with.
I think, as you were saying, a lot of video games have a lot of interesting movement mechanics.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
And so utilizing, like taking a mechanic from a game and then making that a bit more universal can do a lot. Because I was thinking about Tracer from Overwatch, who has she blinks forward or in whatever direction she's moving. So it's just, it's a short distance, 2 meter teleport.
Right.
And you can do that a certain number of times and they have some science-y explanation for
it. Sure.
But if everybody could just, you could just quickly blink, 2 meters at a time and just do that repeatedly to get to your destination. All right, now I'm there. So you just cut it down a lot, but you are still having to move forward. Yeah.
It's a rich area, and it's actually what made this hard for, I can't speak for you, but it was hard for me to come up with an idea. Cause every time I thought I came up with something cool and started doing some reading on it just to have a sense of it. Oh shit. It's already been done.
Yeah. I mean, such as world building.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into our teases here. Give me the noodle tease that you are so confident about.
Yes. Wildly confident. Every day is Earth Day.
All right, Greenzo.
What have you got for me?
All roads lead to where?
What do you mean?
So, I'm resurrecting an old idea that was a frozen lasagna.
Is evil, Kyle.
It's a frozen lasagna that we did once upon a time, and I think for wizard schools.
Okay.
Mage towers or one of the two, where it was basically this center point of a steampunky world where there was a train, all trains went to this central train station, and the wizard tower or wizard school was above it.
About that one. That was a cool idea.
And we said it really quickly. Then I was like, oh, I like that idea. I want to flesh it out. I'm going to pivot it, but I'm going to take that same basic framework that all trains go to this one central hub.
Sure.
Because they are the only people in the world that know how to operate these trains. And in my mind, I'm also borrowing one of my favorite concepts in the world from Mass Effect, the Keepers, a species that just maintains and runs the system, and nobody knows what they're up to. And so nobody can build anything more.
Right.
Because it's up to them, and they are not communicating with anybody, and they don't, they're not, this is a human, they just do their own thing.
So these, keeper robot homunculi creatures, are they the ones that control the train schedules?
Yeah, they control everything. This isn't operated by, the wizard school or something like that. This isn't, I'm jettisoning that. This is a central hub of transportation operated by this ancient creatures.
Yeah.
And have you ever watched the movie Hugo? It was Scorsese's only best director win. Fantastic really? Movie, and not at all a Scorsese joint, because it is actually very, like, it's much more heartwarming and like whimsical, and it's a very interesting movie. And it takes place at this train station in Paris, and it's this like very magical representation of a train station. Yeah. And I wanted to take that kind of idea of this like magical location, like a, you know, a Grand Central, a, you know, a big train station that has a lot of heart and a lot of soul and a lot of people and a lot of shops and stores and, you know, accoutrement that make it a living place and a setting unto itself.
Hmm.
So, you know, also in the keeping of the spirit of the original idea of like, you know, Santa or whatever, it's like also just kind of being like a little bit more like, take the Polar Express vibes or whatever.
I was just wondering, like, would the Polar Express come through
here?
Yeah,
maybe.
Would the Harry Potter train come through here?
Yeah.
Is this like a multidimensional hub?
No. It is not multidimensional.
I'm sorry, I forgot you hate multiverses.
True. Everyone does. Please ask Kevin Feige how he's doing. They're not doing
great. I think we can all tell, not well.
Yeah. Watch the franchise on Max. It's fantastic. Mocking the whole MCU shit. Yeah. So then like everything, all these trains are going out into wherever. That's not really important for this. Mm-hmm. But they are this train network that brings people together for and helps them get to like other provinces, regions, whatever you want it to be. But then also there's a lot of commercial activity happening here at this central hub, because it is where everybody can easily congregate, because all the trains lead to here. That's kind of the bulk of it.
I think that should be its name, here.
Yeah,
if you're going for that whimsical feeling, it's, you know, you could do a lot with that. You know, you are here, how do you get here?
There's
a lot.
And the all roads lead to here.
I
think that works perfectly. It's the destination is here, which also has, you know, there's some sort of theme about wherever you are is also good. Beyond that, the idea is really just what your imagination brings when you think of a magical, massive train station and in like a crossroads of the world.
The idea of having a train station that can go anywhere is very interesting, because suddenly you have to start thinking about what are the different destinations. And why are there tracks that are going there? Assuming, of course, that your definition of train needs tracks, because if not, then suddenly you can start having trains that go to the sky, that can go to different destinations. Mm. I break that down for me. You can't just have a hub. You can't just have a train. Like, there have to be tracks that go there. That's the thing about trains, though.
Yeah. It's a good point, is that why those places, and I think maybe there is something, I think there's two versions of this. One is there are no tracks. These are trains that don't require tracks. They are trains that are like living trains. You know, they are somehow like, they're like, you know, again, bring back the keepers, bring back, you know, they are centipede like and just have tiny little legs, you know, millions of them, that propel the train forward, so they can move in wherever they need to go.
Sure.
So you could say, well, there's a, you know, this village really needs some assistance and a train will come through, and to create, you know, like bus routes where they are not necessarily linear.
Yeah.
To just say, oh, well, we're going to do a big loop here and come back in this, do this, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you could do something like that. If you have proper train tracks, I think then you lean more into the steampunky element that was the initial impetus, and they have it maybe as it's like they're able to use the kinetic energy of it to also power the train station. Hmm. So there's a symbiotic relationship that it isn't like they're kind of limited because this tech was built. No one really knows how to build it anymore. But they know that it's propelled by sending trains out and sending them back.
Yeah,
that is what's keeping this station alive, which creates the limitation of it. You can't make it go anywhere new.
I do like that. I think that fits really well with the keepers. I want to go back to the first idea you had, though, where the centipedes, where the trains are living. I don't actually want them to be living creatures so much. I think having them be hover trains is fine. They can be some sort of advanced technology, future tech, magitech, whatever you want it to be.
Or just straight up magic.
Or just straight up magic. All whatever you want to do is fine. What if the trains themselves are still sentient, though? And so the keepers are there. They have a symbiotic relationship, you know, that nobody really understands. So you have these creatures that clean and maintain the trains. The trains coming through maybe do generate power. But the trains being sentient means that, kind of like the stairs in Hogwarts and Harry Potter, they can move and they can change. So it requires effort to predict where are the trains going. And maybe the train's rigid schedule is not set or controlled by anything. It's just been based off of history and historical precedent. We're not sure why it's on this explicit schedule, but it is, and it's been like this for hundreds of years, so that's how we can map around it. And then one day, one train goes to a different direction.
Interesting. Yeah, that's...
And everything starts adjusting, and that taps into sort of the whimsy of it. It's why is the train changing now? And so you have to figure out, you start talking to the train. Maybe someone has the idea of putting the train in therapy to, like, go check, are you okay? What's going on? You know, trying to figure out what's going on. You could play with that a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, just making a note that when you have any sort of train system in the real world, that would be the same in this case, is wherever it stops is where people locate themselves.
Right.
So every, you know, so then you would have population centers built up around locations that these trains are known to stop at. And so then the second it starts going to new places, people would definitely be like, oh shit, do we have to move over there?
Yeah.
And then you have a new population center kind of rising up, and you might have almost like a land grab battle, which I think land grabs are underused as storytelling, you know, in like,
except for in Blazing Saddles.
Sure. Yeah. colonialism is used, and but like that's land grabs for occupied land.
Right.
About, like, land grabs in unoccupied territory, I think, are interesting. Mm. And, you know, a case like this where it's like, oh shit, we have to go over there. All right, everybody panic and go over there and try and get what you can.
Yeah.
But that's,
I like
that's
that
idea.
I like here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here is good. There's a lot of fun there. There's a lot of fun here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun here. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to your idea. Remind me the words.
Every day is Earth Day. This topic was a pain in the ass for me because, like I said, every cool idea that I sort of had, I realized had already sort of been done.
Yeah.
I came up with this idea of, oh, we could have like magical ley lines that intersect at waypoints that you can teleport between. And I'm like, oh, well, that's just sort of the Mass Effect network. Mass relay system.
Mass effects, that's so
just
good.
Already done. So shit. It was very frustrating. Then I started thinking about, oh, what if you could like magically ice skate everywhere and not fully fly? And then I started to, I'm like, God damn it. Like, that idea was already in my head because I'd seen it before. Right.
Yeah. For the record, for all our listeners, please feel free to take your inspiration and copy directly from those awesome ideas others have also created. It's just only, it's our goal here to come up with our own materials that you can also steal from. So the whole podcast doesn't really work unless we come up with fresh-ish ideas. Thus, Ethan's struggle.
Once again, referring to Matt Colville, the challenge of being a creator is finding something obscure enough to steal that no one will recognize that you're already stealing.
And our podcast is obscure enough for you to steal from.
Exactly.
So you're good.
Take all the stuff. But I wanted to challenge myself a little bit. Don't worry. I found something obscure enough to steal from. So once again, we're getting into an elemental-based magic system here.
Of course we are.
Yeah, of course. I like them. They're fun. They give a structure, and structure is good for me.
Also, they're graspable.
Yeah, that's sort of what I meant by structure. You know, earth, fire, water, wind. The earth mages here at a high, you know, we've seen throughout Avatar The Last Airbender, throughout other media, all sorts of cool ways of using earth to get around. You know, in Ba Sing Se, they have the earthbenders use earthbending to push the stone trains all around the city and to deliver the mail. That was really cool. They use earth to glide around. They turn it into mud. They can surf on sand. There's a whole bunch of really cool shit there. But I wanted to think about long distance transportation for an elemental based magic system. everyone always talks in an elemental based magic system, oh, I need to find the spirit of the earth or the breath of the wind and find my connection to it. It's the idea is based in that is that if you were that intimately connected to your element, what would theoretically be stopping you from just sending yourself through that element, right? And so the idea is it started with earth mages, but you could expand it to others, however creatively you wanted to do it, is that at a high enough level, an earth spirit, an earth mage, something like that, would actually be able to form a, while touching the ground, the actual earth itself would be able to melt or meld their body completely into the earth, effectively dissolve their body, and then project their consciousness through the ground to the point where they wanted to go, and then reform their body out of the earth or materials or wood, grass, ground, whatever, in that location.
Okay.
So your existing body melds with the earth. It's not your existing body that goes with you.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're hyper fast tunneling through the earth or something mm-hmm. like that. You are just sending your consciousness and then reforming it.
Okay.
And out of those materials. And I thought that could be kind of fun, is that if you're at a high enough level, you're basically a part of that element, right? You know, if you were in water, same thing, you know, you could maybe even, you could dissolve yourself into a lake to get to the other side of the lake or other side of the river. You could, if you were an air mage, you could maybe turn yourself into electricity and travel through the clouds. Fire's harder.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You could go to the earth's core.
Yeah, maybe. I don't. But yeah, still, yeah. But
just limitations of fire.
Yeah, sure.
You have destruction where water can instead just say, well, I'm going to cross that ocean. Bye.
Right.
And then instantly get across the entire ocean.
Right. It's an elemental based teleportation.
Yeah.
Mechanism.
Yeah.
But that's why, and to reach those speeds, that's where it's like you're moving effectively at the speed of thought. That's why it's teleportation, like, right? So you're not just tunneling your way through or surfing your way through,
yeah,
or flying.
Yeah,
through.
You're actually teleport. Okay. I think it's cool. I think it's here's the big question is around the mechanics of it, is that it's like your original body and its situation. And I think it does work if it is literally you turn into water, you then into wine, and then you come out the other side, turn back into yourself. I think that does work. But should it be that you have a flesh and bone body, and then you are able to form another definitely works well with water. No, with earth it kind of works. So like you would create a new version of yourself on the other side of the earth,
mm-hmm.
out of rock,
mm-hmm.
like almost
or
like,
sand or mud.
You make, like
trees and branches and shrubberies.
Because then you should make a homunculi or something. But then yeah, it's not. That's actually not transportation. So I think yeah, you have to. It has to just you fully transfer through it. You turn down into the individual atoms of yourself.
Right.
And
your consciousness moves forward, and you have such precise and incredible control over this particular element that you can reform those atoms and the atoms around you back into your flesh and blood body. I mean, there's something to be said there for, like, if an earth mage of this caliber is touching the earth,
they can always get away.
Yeah, they're functionally immortal.
Yeah.
Right? Because as long as they're touching it, they can always just meld into it. Right.
Like, theoretically, any water mage, unless they're in in the middle of a volcano or
right.
something, it's like they can always they have the air. There's water in the air.
Right.
I think it would be worth exploring. Is there a penalty or like a cost for doing it over, like, you know, if you continually do this for years? Your body, you know, much like, you know, one of the things about teleportation theory, I guess, is that like you have to, you scramble up people's atoms, you put them back together. It's not necessarily going to be exactly right. And you're going to have costs for that. And you're going to get sick and you're going to, you know, maybe have scarring. You might not be reassembled in the exact same way. Are they, if they have such perfect control, I assume they can put themselves back together pretty much the same. And there's like probably that like test of learning how to do it. And if you can do it right, you know, like, because they don't want novices to do it, because the novices will scramble themselves and die. So you have to be good enough to do it, and you have to be probably quite sober when you attempt it. Just like, even though you're a pro, you still need to be focused because you don't want to fuck it up.
Right.
But then eventually, does it become like you start to get like small little scars on your skin, or you get little little, like, you know, something like collecting freckles from the sun? Like, are there little like physical remnants or markings that indicate you've teleported through the element a lot?
That's a good question. I could see two ways of doing this, right? One is to say that the more experienced you are, the fewer marks you have, because you're just better at it. So maybe the first time you do it, and say you're an earth mage, right? Uh-huh. You come out of the ground, and the test is maybe you move 10 feet away. That is the end of your original birthed body.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, because now you are...
So you come out and you're not good at it. You're not refined. And so you come out looking like a rock monster or an ent, like a tree monster, you know, made up of plants and roots and things. And then over time, as you get better and better and better, you learn to your finesse increases so that you can learn to recreate your original body. The other way of doing it is the opposite of that. Is it's easier to retain your original body the first time you do it, and then over time you lose that sense, or you lose your sense of yourself as an individual, and so maybe you see yourself starting to become part of the earth itself, so it becomes less important to retain your individual body, and then suddenly you just exist as this creature of rock or ice or air. And that could actually be an interesting number one cautionary tale, is like, don't overuse this, but number two, an interesting explanation for the origin of elementals in your world.
Yeah. I think there's a third thing in there that is back to the first idea, which I like, I think, a little bit more. What if it's that it's not, is that, yeah, you get the scars if you're inexperienced, and it's, oh, I reformed and I, you know, I made a mistake, and so now I have a scar on my arm.
Right. Or like my hands are on my feet and my feet are on my hands.
I think smaller than that. I think like... Okay. Those examples are like egregious, and those people are basically just no longer mages. They're done. So I think they probably wouldn't have a lot of them. I think it'd be like, this is so, like, that happened early on when they figured out this tech. Mm. Then now they've like, okay, we make sure that they really are prepared. And then it's like, you know, doing the like 1 foot, 2 foot teleportation kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then like some people.
The blinking, like you said.
Yeah. And then some people have like little scars of some kind on their arms, or some people have,
or maybe just even little patches of earth or patches of rock that they didn't fully reform, and little patches of water, ice, something like that.
And over time, those do not go away. They're scars. They're permanent. Mm. It becomes, don't do any more damage.
Right.
Don't add any more to you. So anybody who can teleport and is pristine, that, and their skin is perfect, that's the sign that they're the most skillful mage.
Yeah.
Because they have always done it right.
I think either of those are perfectly viable.
There's always mages teleporting. That's normal.
Yeah.
But it usually lacks that little bit of extra flavor where this mage can, if you're near a body of water, this mage can teleport specifically.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to have to walk around like normal.
Right.
You know, if you're near, you know, natural or like natural earth.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, if it's not worked earth, then they can teleport through.
Right. Yeah. Getting through a floor, like a wood floor in a building.
Yeah.
They'd come up under the foundations, right? They wouldn't be in the wood itself, because that wood is dead, so it's not part, right?
Exactly. Like, so there's limitations, unless you're air, in which case there's pretty much no limitations, and that's where I think you maybe have to put some. Maybe that's where, like, if it's only earth mages that can do it, it makes more sense, or it keeps more guardrails on.
Right.
If you let air get involved,
then it's harder.
Unless it's avatar, in which case, like, ain't nobody doing the air.
Right.
Only one guy.
They got killed.
They got.
Don't play with fire, kids.
Jesus Christ. It's a kid's show, too. Yeah, I think that might be the yeah. idea.
No, I like your point about keeping it limited to the Earth mages. That might be fun. It was more, felt more like a logical conclusion of why I started adding in the others, because if it is just, well, then why can't water do it?
Yeah, I think water makes sense and still has a lot of limitations if it has to be like running water or like an ample body of water.
Yeah, but it's not like a puddle.
But then the second you start asking the question of, well, why doesn't air do it? Then you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, the easy way to do it is just to take the rule from Full Metal Alchemist and say you need at least the same amount of mass as your original body, or the original body that you started with,
yeah,
to recreate it. That's why, and that would be the limiting factor for air, because air doesn't have mass in the same. Does air have mass?
Yes.
I'm not a physicist.
If you add all of the air that exists in our atmosphere, you think that has zero mass. Gas has mass.
Yeah. No, but the point is well taken that, yes.
There's some science in there somewhere.
Right. That would be the only question. I'm not a physicist, but that would be the only question is. That's good. We're all very impressed.
Thanks,
Oliver. Yeah, that would be the only way of putting a restriction on it, right? Is you need at least that same amount of mass.
Yeah.
But again, that still leaves air as OP. Yeah. We'll have to figure something out there.
Yeah. Or no. We're done. It's up to you now.
Yeah, you figure it out. I'm tired.
All right. Well, let's move on to the frozen lasagna. All right. Shard us off. I just said shard us off.
You did say shard us off. I was gonna let you have that. I was just gonna let it go.
I just want to make sure that the listener knows. I know.
There's a giant floating spirit fish that travels the same route every day. And so to get around, humans will come and they all have these special priest-made grappling hooks that can hook into spiritual beings, and they whirl the hooks around and they hook themselves into the fish, but it's so massive it doesn't hurt, and so they just fly along with the fish and then they hop off where they need to.
It's very Ghibli.
Okay. Imagine it like being like kind of like a big pink, like
your minute's up,
lionfish.
Shut the fuck up.
You fuck off.
No,
fuck off.
No,
tell me about your
lasagna?
Yeah, melt that, thaw.
Melt? Oh.
Yeah, the frozen lasagna. Frozen things melt, Kyle.
Okay.
I know air has mass, but I don't know that frozen things melt.
I just literally knew what you were saying. Okay, so I want to take the jet stream in the air and the air currents up in the atmosphere.
Oh, those jet streams, yes.
And that this is a world where they have built little towers, and they built big towers where you climb up the tower and then you jump into the jet stream, and the jet stream is like a giant like wind tunnel that just propels people around. The people are flying basically by just
using, yeah, that's cool,
and then they just fly to other towers and they like grab onto a pole whenever they get close to it, and then they can like walk back down.
See, that's a cool way of taking the mass relays and making them different. It's the same principle, but it's a cool way of making
and
them
it's like
very
a, on
different.
An individual
yeah.
level
yeah. Yeah, that's super cool.
Like a
that's
giant great. Lazy river in the sky.
Yeah. Well, you could also, I mean, I imagine there might be some way.
This is an awful lot
right.
of shatter.
Fuck, it's off. Yeah, I know, I broke the rules. What stuck for you, fucker?
All right, Ethan, what stuck for you?
Sci-fi hover ice skates.
The thing we didn't talk about?
It's I can't stop thinking about it, man. It's just it was so cool. It was so cool. It was ridiculous, but you asked. I can't lie. I mean, I lie.
Yeah.
I can't lie. Honest to God, thinking back on this episode, that is going to be like
the thing that stands out to you.
That I remember the longest. That said, picking from our ideas, I think here as a concept is very cool and fun. I as cool as it is for steampunk, I think it's more interesting with the keepers and the sentient trains kind of trying to figure out that relationship and why the trains suddenly change direction and who's actually in control, you know, make man force the consequences of his own hubris, thinking he controls the uncontrollable, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I feel like I took that in a very different tonal direction than you were originally imagining, but...
Yes, 100%. But that's the way this works.
Yeah.
the product is now, our ideas are now, you know, beyond
no
us.
Longer ours.
No. We birth them into this world, and then they go off and they...
Oh, God,
don't do that.
What stuck for you, Kyle?
I think it's a name here. I think, like, the name alone is the thing that stuck to me. I think because otherwise, none of it really stuck.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a testament that sometimes you just can't reinvent the wheel too well.
I think that's... thus why this episode was so hard for me.
I think the... I like my idea of a train hub, but it's also just, like, taking an idea that was somewhere else, and then when you're talking just about the transportation side, it's like it's just kind of creating a thing that is already existing and can't really be zhuzhed up a ton beyond that.
Right.
But I think the name works really well, especially for like creating a setting that is a singular train station. I still love that idea.
Yeah.
But you can't really zhuzh it up more than like just giving it flavor and character, which you don't do in this portion of writing.
Yeah. There are limits here. Like this is a very, there's not a huge amount of room to navigate here.
We world build. We don't write the details beyond that, which is where I think you get extract more out of some of these ideas by describing them in great detail.
Right. Cause then you discover the world, right? Then you like we were talking about with the Earth teleportation, it's like you start seeing pristine people versus people that have patches of dust or stone in their skin, right? That's part of world building. That's very cool. But part of you start discovering the implications of it the deeper you go, but beyond that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Well,
that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Kyle's so mad at me. Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye. You stole my fucking thunder.